Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hang on to your balls. It's time for the Horror Hangout Podcast.
Welcome to the Horror Hangout, a podcast where two bearded film fans watch the 50 best horror movies ever, and then we do some talking about them. My name is Luke Condor with K. My cat Oscar's just over there. Oh, and Ben's here as well. Hey, Ben.
Hello, I'm here, third on that list of Horror Hangout presenters. I've been demoted, it would seem.
Oscar has some pretty keen insights into the world of horror. He actually does a great impression of Bela Lugosi.
Oh, really?
Honestly, like, when he needs a poo, he pulls that Dracula face. He sits on your lap or gets very near to you and he just looks at you. I think he's trying to hypnotize you with his eyes to... sort of litter tray.
This is probably the third occasion you've talked about cats pooing on this show.
It's a big part of my life with Oscar pooing.
In the show notes, we'll put whatever episodes you've discussed it. You know, just so people can go and hunt down your thoughts and feelings on cat shit.
Cat shit, yeah. It's cat, one of those things in my life. You know, there's like eating, sleeping. Does Oscar need a poo?
it's like the constant. You need those constants in your life to keep yourself grounded.
Poolers, you could say.
Poolers. Yeah, keep yourself grounded, keep yourself level-headed, always on that even keel. Yeah. Oscar, taking a shit.
How's it going, man? Are you all right?
Yeah, it's good. It's good. And devil are you? And the devil are you?
Yeah, pretty good. I've still got a bit of a cold. Sorry about that, guys. You'll have to bear with me. Also, like, I was listening to the last episode and I thought I was a little bit low energy. So I'm going to try and do some... Every now and again, I'm just going to scream.
Yeah. Low energy. That's just your vibe, man. That's just your vibe. Don't go messing with your vibe.
No? Yeah, so I'm zen. I'm zen horror fan.
You're zen. You just seem like you're not bothered all the time. Well, the film was all right. Who cares? We're all going to die. We're all going to die eventually anyway.
That is very much me. Generally, if anything happens, I'm quite, you know, steady about it all.
Chillaxed.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, people like that are good in most scenarios, but there are a few scenarios that people like you are a hindrance.
Well, like, I'm not a hindrance.
Panic stations! Oh, come on, guys. Let's all just walk to the next available evacuation.
Carrying a pint of beer. Did you see that guy in the London thing?
Yeah, I did. I did, yeah. he didn't want to spill his pint. Expensive beer prices, clear.
Zen dude. He's on a similar wavelength to me. Okay, so if you didn't know the premise of this whole podcast, we talk about the 50 best horror movies ever. So let's put together by Empire. We've done a couple of like recent films, and we thought we'd get back on the list. I know Ben's been looking forward to this one.
Back on the old list, back on the grind, crawling our way through the list.
Back to the day job.
Oh, we got to go back to do the list again, have we?
I'm afraid so. Yeah. So we're number 36. We're slowly getting there. This is the 1931 version. This is the Universal classic Dracula. We've done another Dracula before, the Hammer Horror one, and we'll talk about that, I guess, at some point. But do you want to tell us a bit about it, Ben?
Yes, indeed. So Dracula is a 1931 American horror film directed by Todd Browning and starring Bela Lugosi. Is that correct?
Yeah.
As Count Dracula. The film was produced by Universal and is based on the 1924 stage play Dracula by Hamilton Dean, which is loosely based on the novel Dracula by Bram Stoker. And the story is the ancient vampire Count Dracula arrives in England for a lad's holiday and begins to prey upon the virtuous young Mina.
I'm getting deja vu. Pretty sure. Pretty sure we talked about this before.
What?
Okay, so this is what Empire Brand magazine has to say. Creaky by today's standards. Todd Browning's Dracula remains seminal for its place in horror history, as well as for its eerie central performance by Bela Lugosi in the scene stealing of Dwight Frye. Dwight Frye, I actually quite enjoyed him in this film. The film is strongest in its opening stretch as Frye's Renfield visits the stunning colossal set of Dracula's castle, meets the sombre count, dwarfed by his cobweb surroundings, and falls foul of the vampire's ethereal brides. A sequence of exquisite beauty, subsequently is a bit more plodding, and the ending is oddly rushed, but there are still unforgettable elements along the way. Well worth watching with Philip Glass's 1999 score, which I didn't know about until afterwards. I think we missed that on a treat there. Unless you prefer the almost silence of the original, which I probably didn't. I probably could have done with some music. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I think I watched the silent version. So Dwight, what's his name?
Dwight Frye.
He's the same guy from Frankenstein and Bride of Frankenstein as well, yeah?
Yeah, he played... I can't remember who plays in Bride of Frankenstein, but he plays
Bride of Frankenstein. He plays like a sort of assistant to someone else, someone who's digging up the graves. Fritz. Yeah. He loves it, doesn't he? He's in all of these films.
He's good at playing like the sort of dickish, goonish sort of side character.
Dickish, goonish.
That's his character's name actually in Bride of Frankenstein.
I bet he's got that on his resume or whatever when he's trying to become an actor. I'm really good at being dickish and goonish. Well, we got just a role for you, Dwight.
Yeah, that's the subject he specialised in at RADA, dickish goonish. Okay, so this film got 91% fresh Rotten Tomatoes. By the way, did you see Baby Driver's got 100%? Just throwing that out there.
Oh, really?
A bit of Edgar Wright love, yeah. 4 out of 4, Roger Ebert's review site. That class is a good film to him. 7.6 out of 10 on IMDb. Over in the Horror Hangout Facebook group, Andy CT said he's looking forward to see how far off Ben's quality cliff this one is. It's about 40 years off the cliff.
I think I did respond to him. I said it's a significant plunge into the depths, yeah, off the edge of the cliff, into the ocean, wallowing around with all the little fishes. That's it. That's my review.
Yeah. Okay. And Johan Chabot says, personally, I love it, even if it hasn't aged too well. I would recommend the Latino version made at the same time. It is surprisingly better and would make for a fun comparison. Didn't know there was a Latino version. Does he mean like there's a subtitle, like a dubbed version? Or is there like a...
one with like Latino actors?
Yeah. Johan's Gibraltar, by the way, so I imagine that might be the version that he... maybe watch as a kid. I don't know. You'll have to chime in there, Johan.
It'll be interesting to check out. Maybe not to watch.
I think by this point, after seeing two Draculas, I think I'm done. I don't need to see any more Dracula. Although I would say, what's his name again? The comedy version. I can't remember what it's called now.
Oh, with Leslie Nielsen.
I definitely recommend watching that. Also, I'd recommend watching The Young Frankenstein.
Yeah, Young Frankenstein's awesome. Also, what about the 1992 Dracula with Keanu Reeves? Only watch that for Keanu Reeves' English accent,
Francis Ford Coppola's one.
Yeah, because Keanu Reeves' English accent is
Dracula films.
Is awful. Keanu Reeves' English accent. Oh, come on, old chum. Oh, you want to pop the kettle on? It's like, well, that is a good version of it.
See, Keanu Reeves is also someone who's on my Zen wavelength, I feel. But he can act as someone who isn't.
Yeah. He's just like, I'm on the Zen wavelength. Yeah. Come on, Keanu, you've got to do accent. Oh, have I? I'll do it on the day. Come on, I'll just do whatever. You've got to practice. You've got to go to these elocution lessons to do. I'll do it on the day.
Do it on the night. This is the night. Bit of a Shaun of the
Sea. Yeah.
Okay. So have you heard of this Dracula character before? What were your initial thoughts of this film?
I've heard of this Dracula character. A dodgy character, isn't it?
Yeah.
Never seen this version of Dracula.
Yeah.
As I think I mentioned in the previous episode, the only films I'd sort of seen with Dracula in were sort of the the 1992 version with Gary Oldman.
Did you find that one scary, by the way, as a kid? I remember feeling a little bit creeped out by it.
Yeah, I think so. And the story Dracula is always something I've kind of struggled with, because I think I bought the book years ago and I've always tried to delve in and out of it, but I didn't really like the way the narrative was sort of presented as people, as the diaries of...
Is it an epistolary?
Epistolary.
What
do you mean?
How do you pronounce that? I only know that word from reading it. I've never said it out loud before.
There's loads of words like that. Hello.
Here's our co-host.
There we go. What's he got to say about Dracula?
He needs a poo.
He needs a poo.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Okay. we'll sort it out.
So this version is a bit creaky by today's standards, as the Empire guy said. I think that's true. It's very creaky. It does stray a little bit into the ridiculous occasionally. Some good performances. It's pretty creepy. I think visually it's really good, especially a lot of the stuff with Dracula's brides and the sort of when they're emerging from their coffins and going to have a sleep in a coffin. But narratively, it kind of just meanders. Doesn't really go anywhere that interesting.
Yeah.
Spends a lot of time with people that I'm just like, who are these people? Why are we supposed to care? Dracula, even though when he's silent, he seems quite menacing. Anytime he kind of speaks or involves himself with other characters, I find him a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
He's creepy, but I don't know if he's menacing. He's just like some dude, you're just like, some dude staring at you on the bus.
He reminds me of, so if people that know I've got Hungarian families, when I go to Hungary, my relatives all talk, you know, when he's like, Renfield goes to the Dracula house and he's like, follow me. And he's like really kind of like sort of weird and sinister, but he's
trying to be nice.
Yeah, welcoming. he sounds exactly like my Hungarian family. And also, after like reading up on this, I found out Bela Lugosi is Hungarian. So I was like, maybe there's like something there.
Maybe you're related to him.
Maybe I am.
Somewhere. Have your eyes been lighting up recently? Just like two little spotlights on your eyes?
I don't know. I can't see my own eyes. And I can't see my own reflection, so...
Oh, there we go.
Could be something there.
The plot thickens. How do you feel about Wolfsbane?
Hate it.
Tastes like
shit.
Yuck!
You ever tasted wolf's mane before?
I don't think so. I don't think I have.
I prefer rosemary and thyme.
I prefer fish fingers.
Yeah. So the first half of the film, visually it's kind of amazing and surreal and expressionistic, and like the black and white photography is so like stark, and like the silence is really sinister when they're waking up. The vampires are waking up at the coffins and stuff, and he's just silently just walking. That's creepy by today's standards. But then, like, the second half, when it tries to tell an actual story, and it becomes like a sort of dull play, and I just couldn't focus.
These films really don't seem to know what to do with the source material. Yeah. It's like there are a lot of interesting themes, there are a lot of interesting events that happen in this story, and there are a lot of interesting places they could take it. But unfortunately, it all kind of just comes down to everyone just having a conversation about something, and then Dracula biting someone kind of off screen, and then turning up and trying to like,
the next scene. But hey, guys.
Hey guys, I just bit you. How did that make you feel? I feel a bit funny, actually. That's right, you're now under my control. Like,
I'm not under your control anymore. Like, your will's too strong.
Oh, your will is too strong. It's just, it's not like, there's no tension. There's not really any tension. There's no build of anything. I think the only thing that makes this film creepy is the visuals. But it doesn't, when it doesn't spend enough time showing you those visuals and it shows a lot of people having a conversation, that is when it's easy to lose interest. But I mean, it's another one of those where you can tell why it's so seminal, why it's so important in terms of cinema, especially horror cinema.
Yeah. I watched a couple of reviews of this as well, and most people are on a similar sort of vibe that this is like a seminal piece of work. It's obviously influenced, you know, Dracula and the legend, and it has sparked the whole universal franchise of horror films, but it's not the best film. The first half's pretty cool, and after that, it just it sort of loses the gothicness and just becomes plain Jane. Like,
yeah. Well, apparently we're going to be getting a new Dracula film as well. I don't know if you've heard this.
Yeah. What did you think about the Dark Universe? All these Universal films, they're kind of making their own Marvel cinematic style universe thing, right?
Yeah, that's right. So obviously we've got it's going to be like The Mummy, Invisible Man, Bride of Frankenstein,
Creature from the Black Lagoon, I think.
I think they announced today that they're going to be including Hunchback of Notre Dame and Phantom of the Opera in this as well. And Johnny Depp's going to be the Invisible Man.
Yeah.
I think
Russell Crowe's Dr. Jekyll.
Yep. Javier Bardem is Frankenstein, I believe.
Okay.
And then Dracula, we haven't heard anything. Well, I know it's on the radar for this Dark Universe, but I don't think they've talked about anyone. I think Dracula Untold was initially supposed to be included in this sort of universe, but I think it eventually got released just like as a standalone thing.
Yeah.
It would be interested if they cast the same dude as Dracula, though, the same dude from Dracula Untold, who was Luke. Oh, that's the guy from The Hobbit.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I have no idea what the current surname is, though.
Yeah.
People love this whole connected universe thing now, don't they?
Yeah, that's the thing. It's almost like it's just a next level on from sequels, isn't it? It's just like an excuse to make a sequel, but then if a film bombs, the chances of getting a sequel made are pretty Luke Evans is the dude who plays
Tracker.
The chances of getting a sequel made when a film bombs is kind of really low. But if you're saying it's part of a shared universe, you're kind of given a clean slate for the next film.
Yeah.
Perfect example, Wonder Woman at the moment, is that, you know, because other films critically, like Batman vs. Superman, Suicide Squad, haven't been received that well, luckily we can go in with a clean slate. It's not like a reboot. It's not like a sequel as such. It's like another film in that universe. And if it's good and if it hits, and if it is critically acclaimed, it rises everything. It brings everything up with it a little bit, doesn't it? Sort of as the universe as a whole. So I think we're going to see a lot more of this with films, because people are going to be thinking, you know, it's a moneymaker, a money spinner, but also it can help elevate any films that don't do so well critically. Because, I mean, I don't know how I feel about The Mummy. I'm kind of not that interested in it.
Well, I kind of thought, okay, if it's full-on horror, like, that could be kind of fun. But then I saw some, like, more in-depth trailer stuff, and it kind of looks like it's gone for like a superhero-y type thing where Tom Cruise becomes like gets superpowers and stops them. I mean, like, it looks a bit lame.
It just doesn't look really scary, does it? It just looks like an action film. It looks like an action film, which I guess they need to do to keep the modern audience interested. Yeah.
And also, I still think the Brendan Fraser Mummy is still pretty great.
Amazing, man.
Yeah.
I like The Mummy Returns as well.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, no, it's good. I can't remember that one too well. I remember the guy with the bird. His bird gets shot, and that being really sad.
Oh, not the bird! Yeah. The third one, Tomb of the Dragon Emperor, was pretty awful with Jet Li. But the first two, good, great action films. Not, you know, they got that real Indiana Jones vibe about them, haven't they?
Yeah, yeah. The whole Uncharted sort of thing. Okay, we should talk about the Dracula film. We're going to do our best. I mean, I will be honest. Like, halfway through the film, I kind of lost interest. And it was on my phone. Like, this is like a...
sacrilege.
I felt like I'd already seen this film. Like, and also, this time, I do think one of the reasons it's sort of, like, it's slow is because of the lack of score. Like, if you've ever seen... if you ever made films or made a short film, you know how lame and like slow things are until you put music in there. Music really does make pace. So maybe I should have watched the Philip Glass version of this. I don't know.
Yeah, possibly. It'd be good to make that comparison. Yeah. What did we do it for next week's episode?
Well, watch this again.
Your face then. What?
You nearly rattled my zen.
You're rattled for a second. Yeah. That's going to be my goal by the end. By the end of this list, I'm going to rattle your zen.
Then we'll watch the Latino one. After that.
Do the scored version, then the Latino version.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's bound to be another version out there we can watch.
We'll watch this one colorized or backwards or some shit. Okay.
Backwards.
So this does actually have music in it, by the way. The very first, like the opening credits, it had like the Swan Lake
score,
and I was like, ah, that's actually quite fitting. It's very creepy. And then that's the only music we get for the entire film. So as well, like, so the main actors, key players, Bela Lugosi, my Hungarian brethren, as Count Dracula, Helen Chandler as Mina Seward, Dwight Fry as Renfield, Edward Van Sloan as Van Helsing, and then we've got John Harker in here as well, played by David Manners. So all the characters that you know from the Dracula universe.
Yeah, all the hard hitters, all the big names.
Yeah.
Everyone's here, you know, no one's missing.
Yeah. so the film starts, Renfield is like I think some sort of salesman or something. He's going to Count Dracula's castle in Transylvania. He said it's in business, and the local people are like, no, they just don't believe him. No, you aren't. No,
you're going where?
No,
you're going where?
No. No, they just like can't be doing with it.
Come on, mate. Nah. Don't.
Come inside for a pack of crisps and a biscuit. Like, they just don't want him to go up there. Which, again, this bit is kind of creepy. They say that when the sun goes down, vampires wake up there. They say he turns into dogs and bats. I don't remember him really turning into dogs in any other, or wolves in any other film.
I don't know if there's anything in the book or anything in the play, but they focused quite a bit on the whole wolf thing. Or maybe just in time, as sort of new versions of this came out, the most iconic version of Dracula, you know, people just realize he turned into a bat, and then they just started getting rid of the old wolfiness.
So what do you think about the bats? So Renfield goes up to the castle anyway.
I need to talk about the bats in great detail. So let's just get to the part where we first see a bat.
Okay. So Renfield's like, no, I've got business, mate. I'm off. And he goes up to the castle and he meets, he doesn't realise it's Dracula at the time, but Dracula's going to drive him in his horse and carriage to the castle.
Yeah, it just seems like something Dracula wouldn't do. Nonsense that Dracula wouldn't waste his time with, you know? I'm going to go and pick him up in my old carriage. It feels like Dracula just go, nah, I'll just wait for him to get here.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I've got to pick up that knob. I'm bloody taxi service, am I? Bloody hell, I've got to... like, as if he does like Uber as a part-time gig. Like,
yeah, as he gets in, Renfield goes, all right, mate, been busy? What time you on to?
Yeah. Okay, so, and then like he looks out and he goes, driver, you're going too fast. But the driver isn't there anymore. Who's there instead, Ben?
The driver's gone. Driver's vanished. There's just a bat. You know, I don't know what the bat is like driving the carriage. He's not attached to the horses in any way. He's not whipping them with the old...
But it's keeping perfectly level with the horses.
Yeah, it's just floating there. But what did you call this bat? I think you said to me earlier what this bat was.
It looks like you know, like Halloween theme, like Poundland. Like one of those ones you just get like a rubber from the bin, like the Poundland bin. Yep. Like it just feels so cheap and like...
Yeah.
You can just picture the kind of one it is.
I mean, like you can't see the strings that are attached to it, but you know...
You can imagine that.
If you might as well have just seen them because it was just lolling about and bouncing in this weird little bat, and you know, I just thought it was just a weird visual to have. Like,
you think that was a monster Dracula. The imposing force of Dracula, and it's a squeaky little shitty toy that like your dogs you give to your dog when you don't want to.
I feel like he wouldn't turn into a bat at that particular moment. I think he'd try and maintain the mirage that he was the driver for whatever. He's gone to the effort of going to pick him up. I feel like he'd just stay in his human form doing that. The fact that he turned into a bat to drive the carriage, you know, just doesn't make sense to me. I mean, bat, can they hold the reins?
Here's what I would have done different. I would have had the horse and carriage just appear, and then he gets in, the door opens for him, and he gets inside, and it just takes him anyway. Do you know what I mean? Like, instead of having him... turn up. I think in
have no one there at all driving it. Yeah, that's probably makes sense.
It's creepy. Like, and then I think in the Gary Oldman Dracula, the Francis Ford Coppola one, Dracula didn't turn up for a while, did he?
No. He was chilling out. He was in his room watching Netflix.
Yeah, Netflix and chill. Yeah.
Netflix and blood.
Babe Station, probably.
He was definitely watching Babe Station. Yeah.
Okay. Preview. So what happens next? So after the bat is essentially driving the cart. They go to the castle.
Turns up at the castle, and obviously Dracula just appears. A castle covered in cobwebs everywhere. I thought, have a dust. You know, I mean, get the old duster out. For, you know, you got visitors. The least you could do is have a once round with the Hoover.
Yeah.
Maybe get the Mr. Sheen out. You know, not like a big clean, not like a big deep clean, but just like enough.
And he's got. He's not only got. I'm going to say something right sexist. He's not only got one wife, either. He's got three. Oh, yeah. He's got three wives. None of them would do anything.
Oh bloody hell! Can you imagine the headache of having three wives, Lou? Bloody hell, Jesus! Don't get me started, Jesus. No, he just loves it. I mean,
yeah.
Three wives. Clearly, he's got something going on in the trousers department. Because you know that's not a common occurrence, I don't think, having more than one wife.
No, it's not.
it's like a Saudi prince or something.
Yeah, little harem of women. Okay, so the castle looks kind of cool. I thought it reminded me of the Frankenstein castle. It's got the matte painting sort of look. It's kind of, I don't know. It looks creepy and gothic. And
I thought Belle. Sorry, not Belle.
Are you thinking
Bella Lugosi?
All right.
I thought Belle when she came down the stairs in her lovely, lovely yellow gown was just beautiful. Sorry, yeah. I've gone off topic there. Bella Lugosi when he came down the stairs as Dracula, I thought looked more menacing and creepy than Christopher Lee did.
Oh yeah, yeah. I've got to say, I thought I preferred Bella Lugosi's Dracula quite a bit to the Christopher Lee one.
Yeah, because it's weird because this something otherworldly and, you know, very supernatural about Bella Lugosi, whereas I think Christopher Lee kind of just comes across. Yeah, and then he talks, but I think Christopher Lee kind of just comes across as, I mean, scary in his own right because he's quite an imposing figure.
Christopher Lee's like when you've got caught in your neighbour's garden, like it's that same sort of, oh shit, sorry mate.
Shit, no, I'm done there.
Bela Lugosi is like a surreal, ethereal sort of, like an actual demon. It doesn't look quite human.
Yeah, Christopher Lee, if your football went into his garden, he's popping it. If this ball comes in again, I'm gonna pop it. And you go, oh, sorry, Mr. Lee. And he just goes, I'm gonna do it anyway. Oh, yeah. That was a fiver down Sports Direct.
Yeah. Yeah. So don't lose your ball over Christopher Lee's garden. Okay. So what happens next? Okay. So, Cracker's like showing him around. It's quite nice actually. It's kind of creepy, but apparently he doesn't know English, by the way, the actor. So I think maybe this is the way he talks in English. I imagine that's how Dracula, who hasn't spoken any English to anyone in 500 years, might actually talk.
Yeah, he's been locked away learning English on a series of podcasts.
YouTube.
Just waiting for Renfield to arrive, and now he does, and he's made a fool of himself.
Yeah. He reminds me, have you seen What We Do in the Shadows?
Yeah.
Taika Waititi's character must be based off, like, have something to do with Bela Lugosi. Baschetti. Like, he's got that same sort of...
Baschetti. Just like, sort of like, almost like...
Yeah.
Almost like a cartoonish sort of accent. Yeah.
Okay, so I think the idea here is that Renfield is going to help Dracula move. He said he's brought some labels, going to help him move to England. At this point, Renfield's kind of normal. That doesn't last very long.
He's just a normal bloke with a lovely, neat haircut.
Yeah, very neat. And then when that's sort of messy, you know, it's a metaphor for his mind.
Someone's gone down.
Yeah. So Dracula says, we need three boxes. What, like my coffin? Doesn't take his wives, I don't think. We never see them again.
No, he doesn't, does he? I thought the wives were pretty cool. There was a bit when obviously they were all waking up.
Yeah.
The wives were waking up, Dracula was waking up. There was like what animal was there, like in the basement with the coffin?
There's some spiders, weren't there, as well? Some spiders and rats.
Spiders and rats, but I don't want to say armadillo.
I thought it was a spider because I know which one you mean, because I had to like double take. I didn't bother rewinding it, but I was like, that was weird. Probably a spider.
Yeah.
But it was like a big spider. It was also from the Poundland bin.
I'll work out what it is in a bit. But there was like a weird animal that I thought, why is there an animal like that in this film? It kind of just felt a little bit bizarre. I wasn't 100% sure what the hell just happened. All that was quite creepy when they were awakened from their coffins.
Yeah, that was really good. Like, sincerely, like, I know we take the piss a lot, but I actually really enjoyed that bit. Like, I was like, oh, we're in for a good film. Like, it's I'm quite enjoying this.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah. That was creepy. And the sort of slow-mo of their hands coming out of the coffin and sort of like weird sort of... Yeah. I remember there was one bit where a hand was coming out of a coffin and like you could sort of see the face of one of the wives in the coffin and her eyes were closed, and I thought that just looked a little bit creepy. Yeah. That's it. It's like a possum. Oh, the creature. Okay. There was like a possum thing and then there was like a giant, what looked like a wasp or some sort of thing. And it was just... It was weird. I was confused as to why there was a possum. It was almost like... Universal, all they had access to of that day, right? We've got to get some creatures, got to get some creepy crawlies in there. What we got? Come on, we've got some spiders or some rats or something. It's like, we've got a possum. We'll go with that. And this massive wasp thing. Yeah, get them in there, day's work.
I don't remember the big wasp. Was that like a papier-mâché type thing?
No, it was a real thing.
A real wasp?
Well, it looked like a wasp. It was some sort of bug.
Was it big? Then, or like, cause I'm picturing like a fake.
It was pretty big. I felt like I dreamt this bit, but I've literally just. It was like a weird sort of. It looked like a wasp. I'm looking at it right now. I'll show you later. Luke.
Okay, cool. okay, so I don't know what happens here, but Renfield. I think there's a bat talking to him. He goes to the window, opens the window.
Yeah, he freaks out, but then he faints, and then the three wives sort of like close in around him.
Yeah,
ready to suck his blood.
Yeah,
suck his blood
off.
And Dracula waves him away and says like, "This one's mine," and he descends upon him and sucks his blood.
I don't drink wine. Do you remember that bit? Yeah. Okay. So then we cut to they're on a boat on the way to London. There's lots of people, sailors and the like, I imagine. But then Renfield is in the basement in the, what do you call that part of the boat? Basement.
The hull. The hull.
Yeah.
And he's gone apeshit, hasn't he?
He's absolutely lost it. Within a shot. His coif is uncoiffed.
He's talking to Dracula like, Master Dracula.
He's gone full on Dickish Goonish at this point.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. Better pull that Dickish Goonish character out. They're going to fire me. I'm not good to my job.
Come on, Dwight. You've been on screen for about 10 minutes now and you haven't done any Dickish Goonish stuff at all. You wait till the next scene. Dickish Goonish, dialed up to 11.
Some Dickery Goonery. And then I don't really know what happens here. Like, he says, like...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
We're nearly there, Master. And then it cuts to, I think, the ship's docked.
Yeah, some of the ship's crew like start talking to him, say, "What are you doing, your bloody head case?"
Yeah.
And then he sort of, then he make out, I can't remember what he says, he makes out the dragon.
<I remember that. laughs> But he, so it cuts, yeah, so basically he's like doing this creepy laugh and they open like the whole door and they look down at him and his eyes are all wide. His eyes are just as creepy as Dracula's, I think, in some of this.
So I was thinking, like, is he a vampire at this point?
I don't know.
No, he can be. He doesn't. I thought he'd been bitten and then suddenly, but he'd obviously, maybe like Dracula drained his blood enough, not to turn him, but just to keep him sweet.
Yeah.
So yeah, and then we get like a cutaway and then it cuts to like a newspaper headline, which basically says that a ship was discovered with nobody alive on it.
Apart from one lunatic.
Apart from one crazy man with neat hair that had been messed up a little bit and bright white eyes.
His hair was quite uncoiffed.
It was quite uncoiffed.
Straight in the loony bin he went. We don't have none of that hair.
Straight in the loony bin. Yeah. They went, excuse me, mate. And he went, oh, God, too much dickery goonery here. Get in the bloody loony bin. Get in the bin. which shows just how people dealt with mental illness back then.
Yeah.
If you show even a sliver of dickery goonery, you're getting straight in the loony bin.
Yeah. It's a bit of a period film in that sense. It shows the cultural, you know, sensibilities at the time. No dickery goonery. And then, so Dracula basically moves into a place called Carfax Abbey. What's his name goes straight into the loony bin. Actually, he doesn't go in the loony bin straight away. I think he actually stays in Dracula's castle for a bit.
Yeah, he does for a little bit. Then
drinking on spiders and rats' blood or something.
Yeah. Yeah. So we do see a little bit where Dracula kind of meets everybody.
Hey guys,
your name's Dracula.
He's an awkward guy. Like, some people are at the theatre. And he goes into their little box, their hospitality area, and someone might say. And then, hey guys, I'm the new guy. I just moved in next door to you, actually. How weird's that? I don't care if my name turned up. Like,
leave me alone.
Yeah, this isn't people.
This is where we get like Mina, John Harker, and then there's a family friend, Lucy Weston, kind of meets them as well. And Lucy Weston, she's a bit like fascinated by Dracula. She's a bit like, oh, bloody hell. Oh, he's bloody lovely. He's a bloody right hunk of a month.
She fancies the pants off of that foreigner. She's like, fancy a bit of that Dracula. Dracula, sounds nice.
And then Dracula, but don't waste any time, because that night he just enters a room.
Sucks one off.
And and sucks one right out of her neck. And then she dies, isn't she? I mean, they're trying to transfuse her blood.
It's weird, isn't this bit? Did you find that the way it cuts? So it kind of like just fades from him about to suck one off, to suck her blood into the like a hospital, like a surgery theatre, whatever they call them back then.
Yeah, that was strange. Like, she's had one sucked out of her neck. You're right. It's got all the signs of it.
Yeah.
Correct.
Two little lumps. They say it's like two little lumps, and I think is Van Helsing at this point? No, it's not there yet.
I think Van Helsing turns up next. So Renfield, we find that he's like eating flies and spiders, and he's like, "I like this little spider. Don't take it away from me." And someone nicks it off him. He's fuming.
And then that's how he gets in the loony bin.
Yeah, because Professor Van Helsing like analyzes his blood, works out he ain't all there. Renfield's talking about spiders and shit. I think he has to get sent away at this point as well, doesn't he?
Renfield has to get sent away.
I think he does, yeah, has to get sent away, saying he might disturb Mina's dreams, you know, because he's gone apeshit, really.
Yeah.
That's when I think Renfield starts talking about hearing wolves howling as well, doesn't he, at this point?
I don't remember.
Van Helsing also goes, here's a little bit of wolfsbane. It's used to keep vampires away. And at this point, I go, what?
Yeah.
What's it got to do with anything?
This is the point when I was like, oh, well, this is turning into a bit of a rip-off of that other Dracula film we watched.
This is exactly the same as the 1968 Dracula, or whatever year it was, 1950. This is exactly the same. I mean, plagiarism or what?
Yeah. You should go check out the other Dracula review we did, by the way. It's which one do you prefer out of these two films?
I think visually I prefer this film, but in terms of actual watchability, I probably prefer the last one. And I didn't even really like the last one very much. I'm sorry. I think in terms of, visually this is good. Like, but as soon as it gets into the nitty gritty and the story,
from
and
here on out, I got like, this is the point when I was like zoning out a bit more. I was like, I've seen this.
So Dracula goes to Mina in her bedroom now and gives her a bite. And this is just like, it's just a series of him just like entering rooms and, And this is when Van Helsing and Harker notice that he doesn't have a reflection. Because that's, to be honest, when someone's entering Mina's bedroom, the first thing you do is, hang on a minute, this guy's dodgy, but has he got a reflection? No, he hasn't.
Everyone. Always carrying my little hand mirror around. When I'm doing my foundation, I always check.
Yeah, but Van Helsing, foundation.
Yeah.
When Van Helsing, he says he pretty much confronts Dracula straight away. I mean, he's not one to be, don't beat around the bush, does he, Van Helsing? You're a bloody vampire, aren't you? And you're behind Lucy's death and biting Mina. It's you, isn't it?
There's some other moiders in London as well. Some like Jack the Ripper style stuff that we didn't really see too much of. But Van Helsing's like, this is your fault. You did those sort of thing.
There's a report, newspaper reporting that women and white are luring children from the park and biting it. And I guess at this point you might think it's Dracula's wives. I thought
it was Lucy, the one who fancied the pants off of him.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
So pretty much whatever country he goes to, Dracula, he starts. He gets there and he goes, "Oh, it's lovely around here," but then he goes, "Get me three wives." Get me three wives right now. Do you not want to just like chill out and just like check out the sights first? I need three wives right now.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like when you set like your comfort zone in life. If you have any less, you don't feel right. It's like if you take away someone's phone nowadays, it's feel like they're missing something. Oh no. And then they have to get like, I do like the idea of him like looking around and go, "This is a lovely city, is London. It'd look better with some floating women in whites," and then he sets off to work.
Yeah. If he was living with two wives, he'd be like, "I got two wives, but something's missing. My life is empty and shit."
If he had four, he'd be like, "I'm moving." No, I think three's the point at which he goes, "I need another Renfield. I'm off." Because didn't you see the way he treated his wives earlier in the film back at Transylvania? He like waved them away. Oh, fuck off.
Jesus Christ, get out of here. I got stuff on, mate. I'm going down a pub with the lads. Well, we've got something to say about that.
No wonder he talks like that. He's got a fucking migraine.
usually he speaks perfect English, but these three wives around, he's like,
I've got tinnitus.
This does sound incredibly sexist. it's just tomfoolery. We must ensure you. It's just sexist tomfoolery, which is fine.
Okay, so in Roger Ebert's review, he did say the scenes in Carfax Abbey, which is basically what happens from here on out, are an anticlimax after the expressionist terrors of the scenes set in Transylvania and aboard the ship. And we've got to agree, the next half hour is kind of just people walking into rooms, saying stuff. And then
they could have spent a lot. I always feel like with this, they could spend a lot more time in Transylvania, because that's where you want to be, really. And I mean, I know obviously there's a lot of other characters involved who aren't in Transylvania, but I feel like it spent probably like 10-15 minutes in Transylvania. And with the wives, I mean, the wives and sort of everything in Transylvania was so visually sort of creepy.
Yeah.
It was pretty stunning that to the fact that they just kind of go, it feels like a made for TV movie at this point,
doesn't it?
It feels like,
so we start hitting the plot points. Mina gets bitten at some point. I can't really remember where. And there's a big furor
in the garden. I think she leaves her room, and then Dracula bites her right in the garden.
And then they put you might recognize the scene. They put her to bed, and they surround the room. I think in Wolfsbane. In the Hammer one, there's like a maid who took it away. I don't think that happens this time.
No.
But what happens next? So
So then we get sort of like Renfield in the nut house.
Yeah.
And he's like talking about, people are discussing vampires a lot, and he's got an attendant in there, and this is another possible kind of a Carry On film character. This attendant.
No, I was going to say that. Yeah. So I was thinking, as soon as he came on, I was like, oh, Ben will be loving this. They have to have like a Carry On film character every single time.
Yeah, so he's like a little bit of a, he was quipping and he was being a bit like, you's all bloody crazy talking about vampires and all that stuff. I mean, I'm just over there trying to make an honest living for myself. And you're all gone.
And I'm not sure about you either. He's like talking to the woman. And then he just disappears. He like walks backwards into the shadows.
Did he have a gun at one point? And then there was another character and they were like, everyone's bloody crazy around here except me and you. And I'm not sure about you either. And she was like, fuck off.
Yeah. Because he just shoots into the sky, doesn't he? Or something at a bat. I was trying to shoot a bat.
That's the behaviour of someone who should be in the nut house, not working in the nut house.
Yeah.
What are you doing? I'm shooting a bat out here. I've got a bloody flamethrower and I'm taking out all the bloody bats. All the rubber bats.
So I'm just I'm having to go through the Wikipedia summary here to sort of rejig on my mind on what happens at the end.
What? So everything's not set up in your mind start to finish?
No, it isn't. Okay,
did you even watch this?
I watched it with one eye. I watched the second half with one eye.
All right. Well, I open. Yeah. You're actually asleep.
No. Okay.
I mean, Renfield says, doesn't he? Dracula convinced Renfield to allow him into the sanatorium by promising him thousands of rats with blood, life in them, some metal like that.
Yeah, I remember that being quite creepy. Actually, I do remember Renfield giving a bit of a speech that was quite creepy and stuff, I guess. So what happens? So does Dracula steal Mina? Is that what happens? I'm imagining that's what happens.
doesn't Dracula? Yeah. So I think he states that Mina now belongs to him.
Right. Right.
Warns Van, tells Van Helsing to return.
Classic.
Yeah.
Standard fare, Dracula. So yeah. So here's what I imagine happens, and I did watch it, but here's what I'm remembering. So Dracula, I think he steals Mina. He goes back to his castle, his sanatorium or whatever it is. Renfield's in there. Renfield, played by Dwight Fry, has to die contractually. In every film, by some sort of neck trauma, Dracula. Yeah. Because I think Renfield's led Van Helsing and John Harker to the castle. So then he breaks Renfield's neck, right?
Yeah,
throws him down the stairs, and Dwight Fry.
This was quite cool. The big staircase, wasn't it? Like, this looked pretty epic.
Yeah.
When he breaks his neck and slings him down there.
Slings him down. At some point, Dracula goes to sleep.
did
he die off camera?
Who's this?
Dracula.
I think he does die off camera, yeah. But I mean, there's a bit where he tries to hypnotize Van Helsing here. Yeah. So Van Helsing turns up basically like, I know your game, mate. Yeah. I've got it all going on. He tries to give it, he shows him a crucifix at one point, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Which makes him scared. But then there's an odd bit where Dracula tries to like hypnotize him. It lasts too long, it lingers too long on Van Helsing's face. So basically, right, so you...
Yeah.
So...
Do we do Dracula's face?
This won't translate too well on the podcast.
Yeah.
The audio, but we'll try and discuss it anyway. So,
Dracula just does a hand... Okay, I'm there.
Right, so you be Dracula. He does a hand thing.
Does he?
He does a weird hand thing. He does a weird, like...
Oh, right, okay.
He looks like he's doing a shadow puppet. He does a weird hand thing. Yeah. And Van Helsing, like... just goes through every emotion in his completely silent reaction. It's like a, wait, what are you doing to me? Are you trying to hypnotize me, are you? Oh, you can't. Oh, it lasts so long. This is a good minute. I might be overcooking it now. It's a good minute of Dracula just looking and doing some of his hand.
You know what
and
it Van was? Helsing just the actor making faces. Like thinking, I need to get my show reel together. I need people to see my full portfolio of faces.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he went for every emotion there, Van Helsing. He went for fear.
I wouldn't have done that, I think, if I was Dracula. I would have done the Professor X. You know, and then I have the circles sort of appear. Okay.
It's good, that.
Anyway. Okay, so after Van Helsing's done his faces... I think John Harker goes to find his wife. She's like, no, I belong to Dracula now. I can't love you anymore. Van
Helsing, that's when a bat appears at this point as well.
She starts talking to so she talks to the bat, doesn't she?
Yeah, Jonathan Harker's trying to get rid of it like it's a bloody bothersome moth. I feel like if a bat came down to me, I'd be fucking. I'd run inside, close the door. He's like, "Go away, you bloody bat!"
Trying to waft it away.
Waft the old bat away.
And then the bat says something, and it sounds like a dolphin the way it talks. And she just says, "All right, mate." And then John Arthur says, "What are you talking to?" And she goes, "Oh, I don't know." But she's talking to the bat, who's just squeaking.
She was annoying me in the scene because she kept doing things, and then Jonathan Harker would go, "Why did you do that? Or why did you say that?" She's like, "I didn't." Don't be so obvious about it, love. Come on.
You on camera, missus. Oh, okay. Yeah. So at this point, Van Helsing kills Dracula. Off screen, I think he gets a bit of wood. We hear the hammer going in.
He's not very prepared. I think he asked Jonathan Harker to get him a bit of wood. Get me a bit of wood. Yeah. Gotta kill him. So he's obviously going to the coffin because the sun's rising.
Yeah.
And Van Helsing prepares a steak. prepares a lovely rare steak for him.
A little post-vampire killing steak. Yeah.
And Harker sort of finds Mina. Van Helsing impels Dracula, killing him off screen. And Mina returns to normal. You know, pretty standard.
To be fair, all of the killings happen off screen in this sentence. So when they're about... Oh no, apart from Renfield, maybe you see a little bit, but every other killing... and this is pre-code film. So like... In Frankenstein, we did actually see him sort of kill a girl. And we actually see him doing a bit of the old killing. But in this, we don't see any actual murders. I would like to see the stake going into Dracula's chest, like in a hammer version. But I guess they were too prudish for that.
I imagine it would just have been a rubber bat led on its back, getting squashed.
Yeah.
Die, Dracula. Oh, no.
He's making squeaky noises like a chew toy.
Yeah.
Okay, that's how Dracula ends. And it ends again, super quickly. Like most of these films don't have a Danny Noir. I think we talked about that before. And it just, that happens and it just ends.
So, roll credits. It was an hour and 15, again, like a lot of these films, but felt a lot longer.
Let me ask you, okay, so out of these Universal ones, so what we're seeing, so Frankenstein, Bride of Frankenstein, Dracula, which one has been your favourite? Which one's been your least favourite?
So I'm going to say this, and I'm going to completely screw up what my ratings were. I can't even remember, but I'm pretty sure Frankenstein was my favourite.
Yeah, me too.
I didn't like Bride of Frankenstein as much. I wasn't massively on board with Dracula. Probably Frankenstein. Boris Karloff.
Yeah, so I would say Frankenstein as well is the best one. I would say the first. The first opening acts of this look pretty great and they're pretty creepy, but then it just sort of I just lost interest, to be honest. But
yeah, I mean, it's surprising Roger Ebert has given it 4 out of 4, considering he said it's kind of like got lost, which it does after the Transylvania stuff. It kind of just goes into a series of, you know, people just talking in rooms and being super over the top about something.
It's like watching a school play. But we've got actors. Well, I guess you could say it's like watching the play, because it is like watching the play. I'm pretty sure that's because this is based on the play, right? I'm pretty sure they just. In fact, actually, the actors are from the play. Bela Lugosi, the guy who plays what's his flavor, Van Helsing.
Oh yeah. Oh,
it's Seward. Actually... They're all the same actors from the 1924 play.
All right.
I think I'm sure that's some of the trivia I looked up. I don't know. Do you want to do the trivia round?
Interesting.
Some a bit of the old trivia.
Why, of course.
Okay. The question first: the film opened on Valentine's Day, 1931.
Did it? Oh, you're asking me. yeah, true.
It is true. Yeah. So this was like a date film.
Would you like to come with? Would you like to accompany me to a new film about a man who's sucking people's blood?
They were like, let's terrify the couples for the first 20 minutes and then kind of bore them so they don't have to worry about the film, then they could, you know, get to the suckling.
get to the suckling. That's is that what a date is like with you, Luke?
Yeah.
Come on, I'm bored of this meal. Let's get to the suckling.
I imagine. Didn't it? I mean, I can't imagine many people actually went to the cinema in 1931. It must have been more of a.
They did in 1931. It, a classic night out in 1931 was going to the cinema, going for a Nando's, and
cheeky Nando's. Yeah.
Cheeky Nando's, and then going to the park to beat up a tramp.
Oh, right. It's very similar to today, I guess. Times
just don't change at all.
Okay, question two. When Bela Lugosi died in 1956, he was buried wearing the black silk Dracula cape, as he requested,
true.
And nothing else.
Oh. False.
Correct.
He had shoes on.
He was wearing clothes. I don't know what he was wearing. Maybe he was naked apart from the cape. Doesn't actually go into detail.
Yeah, Crocs on.
Yeah,
I was doing a bit of research today, and you know that Tim Burton film Ed Wood with Johnny Depp.
Yeah,
there's a character in it. I mean, I know it's a little bit true to life, that film, but it's also a bit over the top. There's a character in that playing the actor Bela Lugosi.
Oh, cool.
You know, sort of. I don't know if it's a sort of like true to life thing or whether it was like an alternate timeline thing.
Yeah,
I think it might be set like in the '50s. Yeah,
it's interesting because I do imagine Tim Burton's like a massive fan of these Universal horror movies.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so question third. Similar to the prologue in Frankenstein, the original release featured an epilogue with Edward Van Sloan talking to the audience about what they've just seen. True or false?
True.
Yeah, that just sounds like me reading Wikipedia, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Which is pretty much what it was. Yeah, so
make
true.
A bit of bloody effort, mate.
Okay, so they achieved. This is a full question. See if you get this one right. Benjamin. Is your full name Benjamin?
No.
Is it not? Is it just Ben?
That's not. Yeah, it's Benedict.
Is it really?
Cumberbatch. No, it's not. It's just Ben. That's all I've got on my.
Benedict,
on my
it is.
Benedict. Benedict's. Yeah.
Okay, Benadryl. Nice to meet you, Benadryl. Okay, so they achieved the effect of Dracula's hypnotic stare by aiming two pencil spotlights into the actor's eyes during his takes. And to achieve that, smouldering, sort of angry sort of look, they were flipping him off as they did it.
Oh.
Yeah.
I imagine that would be quite annoying and painful, having two pencil spotlights shone directly into your eyeballs.
Yeah.
They were definitely flipping him off.
They were whispering.
I think one of us there, going, "Oh, Bela Lugosi," because he didn't know what I meant.
Nobody likes you. They were like,
"You're a bloody, you're boring, mate."
Yeah, there'll be no score in this part of the film. It's gonna look shit.
We're not gonna get Philip Glass to do it for 60 years. What a mug you are!
And all the time, Bella's like,
"Yes, I know, that's true." Or from the waist down, someone's just flicking his testicles. Ding, 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 ding. He's like, fuck. Oh, shit. That's, that hurts.
True or false?
It does. Little flick does hurt the testes. That's true. That's true, okay, 100%.
Cool. Yeah. Okay. The large, expansive sets built for Transylvania Castle and Carfax Abbey sequences, they kept them there for years afterwards and are used in many of the Universal films. For over a decade, and porn.
I'm going to say that's true. Maybe you've added the "and porn" bit to it.
Of course I did.
I've always added "and porn" to stuff, you know? Just a normal conversation. Yeah. See how people react. What did you do last night? Watch EastEnders, watch Family Guy, and porn. Just to see how
people, react. Yeah. A lot of people give me the Bela Lugosi look. What?
It's also the same look you were doing while you were watching said porn.
And I was flicking my own testicles, so it's probably where that look came from.
whatever gets you off, Luke, you know. I'm not here to judge.
Yeah, okay. No, that's part of the porn. I like to be judged.
Are you judging me? No. Oh, go on, please judge me. Judge me harder.
Yeah. Okay. Grading the films. So obviously this is right up there for you. So like an A plus or something. What are you going to go for?
As I said previously, this is obviously a great looking film. Looks bloody lovely, but unfortunately, I feel like the only good parts of the film for me are like the first 10, 15 minutes. Unfortunately, after that, I really lost interest. It felt like it took some good ideas, and then it kind of just went, look, here's some people chatting about stuff. Someone got bit. Someone's a vampire. Is that a rubber bat hanging out my window? Don't care.
Did you get your phone out? It's the all-important phone out test.
This is true. Like, I did get my phone out, but I remember I was looking at kind of things that were on like social media of it. I was looking at different websites talking about it, which is probably like the wrong thing to do. Usually something I do after we watch these films. I was kind of like doing two birds, one stone type of thing.
You can tell when I'm losing interest when I'm taking a picture of the film I'm watching. Do you know what I mean? To talk about the film watching rather than actually watching it.
That's true. Like, I did lose interest, unfortunately. But I think if the whole film was like the first 10, 15 minutes, I probably would have enjoyed it a lot more. So I can understand why it's classic, but at the same time, it does suffer from just being a bit naff, doesn't it? I mean, if I'm going to be honest, it's probably as low as like a D- for me.
Jesus, that is low.
But in terms of that, I'm genuinely thinking, would I ever want to watch this film ever again in the whole of my life? And
I'd be tempted to watch like the opening scenes again with the Philip Glass score. I'd be interested to see how that.
Yeah, and maybe the Latino version, maybe.
Yeah.
If I'm feeling particularly fruity one weekend,
yeah,
I'm gonna be like, oh, get a bloody Latino.
I might make a screensaver of Dracula's face trying to hypnotize me.
Yeah, that could be like a work harder, bitch sort of.
Yeah. Nope, my will is too strong. I'm not doing fuck all.
Yeah.
Have
that.
Netflix. It is okay. So I would give the film I'm gonna give it a C because I mean. This is just okay. Like, it's a full-on, like, average. Do you know what I mean? It passes.
Yeah, again, but this is a film you can clearly... It's obviously of its time. Clearly a classic film. I've explained this every episode, but I'm going to explain it again just in case people go, you ignorant fool! I've been brought up on, like, film horror from, like, the 70s and 80s. Well, like, the 80s probably mostly. So... my barometer for what's a good horror film is kind of tainted by, you know, actually good films.
Yeah.
It's tainted. Yeah. So I did struggle with this one a little bit.
Good films have ruined your watching experience.
All these bloody good, classic, superb films with great actors and superb storylines and phenomenal soundtracks. They've ruined the way I take shit films now.
Yeah. Well, so
John Carpenter, Stanley Kubrick,
you bastards, you absolute, yeah. So, well, don't worry because we are like over we're coming out of the cliff now. So we're going to be climbing up, back up. We've got an 80s film next, then a noughties film after that, and then a 60s film, I think. Okay, so I mean, so I give it a C, you give it a D-. Let's just say. D+.
It might have been a different score if perhaps we hadn't watched Frankenstein and Bride of Frankenstein recently, and we hadn't watched the other Dracula recently.
Yeah,
I feel
because
those films kind of zapped my enthusiasm for these Universal horror films or Hammer horror films. I kind of
totally
killed me dead.
Yeah, after the Hammer one, because I mean the Hammer one again, like. Didn't enjoy as I don't think it was amazing. So to watch this again, it was a bit like a chore, which is why I give it a C.
And this should never be a chore, Luke. No. This should never be a chore. This should be, you know, this is all, we only get one. Life is not a dress rehearsal, Luke. We should be enjoying ourselves day in, day out, watching EastEnders, Family Guy,
and Porn. Okay, so next week we are talking about. Poltergeist, which turns out isn't directed by Steven Spielberg, which I always thought was.
Is he just a producer, possibly?
I don't know. I've not looked
into it. He's involved somehow, I'm sure. Yeah,
but I always thought it was a Steven Spielberg film. Maybe he's just a producer, I don't know. Okay, so we'll talk about that nonsense, you know, and porn. Okay, so the show is brought to you by the story studio Hawk and Cleaver. Head over to hawkandcleaver.com or theotherstories.net and check out our other podcasts. Become a patron over at patreon.com/hawkandcleaver. Thanks to Kovach Kalman for our theme music. Thanks to Acast for hosting the show. Thanks to the listeners. If you enjoyed the show, please give us a 5-star rating. We've only got like 2 5-star ratings so far. So if you're
not enough. Someone,
no, it's not enough. We need 3.
Give them in.
We need to get the whole Dracula 3. The old Dracula threesome going now. Okay. And remember to hit subscribe. Thanks to my co-host, Oscar. He's gone.
Cheers, Oscar. Cheers, Oscar. You've done well tonight, mate.
I wonder where he is right now. No, I know where he is.
Who knows? Who knows what wonders he is seeing? He's probably having a poo.
He probably is. Okay. Thanks to my actual co-host, Ben. Benedict, Benadryl, Benjamin, Benja,
Benadryl,
Benji.
Benadryl.
You must have had all these nicknames. I've got like Lucozade.
Lucozade. You are glucosey.
Yeah. You are I do give people a bit of pep when they're low on energy.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I taste great in orange. Talking
of that, have you felt like you've been a bit more high energy this episode, considering you said you were dead inside last time?
Keeping to the theme of the Dracula film in question, the first half I was great.
The second half,
I dragged.
God, you didn't have to go on, did you? Yeah. It would be good if there's a rubber bat floating beyond your head right now. I feel like that would be perfect.
I would like that scene to be in most... I'd like to put that like whole reveal of when you go to talk to a driver and it's actually a floating rubber bat. I'm going to put
Like you're in a taxi or something. You go, come on, drive, you're going the wrong way.
And then it's just a floating just bat. Just like sellotape to the steering wheel, like flapping.
It's a sure thing.
That's my face, yeah.
Oh my God.
Okay. Thanks, Ben, for being a real horror dude. And thanks to the listeners again. Okay. Thank you very much.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.